in Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 35. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. In many parts of Europe, there are ancient cathedrals that still stand today that were built in the 12 and 1300s. Some of them, it took hundreds of years to complete. There was a vision set at the beginning of what this cathedral would look like. Master builders, master masons drew intricate and precisely detailed plans because they knew that they would not live to see the completion of their dream. They got it started, but they made sure that it was clear what needed to be done because they knew they wouldn't be there when the last tile was put on the roof, when the pews were moved in. They knew they wouldn't be there when the frescoes were painted over the walls and the ceiling. But they dedicated their entire life to this one project. And I see that sort of with Simeon. He had prepared his entire life for this moment. It was almost as if his whole life was leading up to this moment. But in looking at this more, I think it was simply another manifestation of God in a life that was lived fully committed to him. It wasn't that the rest of his life was insignificant in comparison with this encounter, but it was another confirmation in a life that was dedicated to God. And we can feel maybe like there's something that we need to be prepared to do, or something that we have to plan to attain. But I think that God is using our daily lives as evidences of his glory. And it can be seen by those we interact with just in our daily normal life. Simeon was prepared. And in his life, I see faith, godliness, virtue, things that he exercised. And those are muscles that must be used in order to grow. I remember when I was young, I viewed prayer as a finite resource, something I didn't want to use too quickly. I wanted to make sure I did everything I could first before I prayed about it, because I didn't want God to get tired of me praying to him and asking him for things or looking for direction, because I thought that was something that would kind of be troublesome, and he wouldn't like to do that too much. And if I did it too often, I would use up all my favor with God, and prayer would no longer be effective. But it's not that way. It doesn't run out. Those resources aren't exhausted, and God desires us to ask of him and continually seek him. I find it interesting that it specifically says the Holy Ghost was on him, and this was before Pentecost. And so I think in that I see that that God is with those. Anyone who is earnestly seeking him, God is with them and sees them. I see he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And as a result of this relationship, this close relationship that he had with God, Simeon knew when God was speaking to him. And it is possible to differentiate between the many voices, you could say, that clamor for our attention, and to still find the still quiet voice of God's direction. when we call on God, we must then listen for him. Maybe it's a temptation for us to call on God with such fervor that we forget to listen for the response that he has for us. He was prepared in that he believed in Christ. He understood the role that Jesus was to play as a spiritual Savior. And that's important in my life. Belief in Christ is recognition of my own sinfulness and the impossibility of ever being good enough in myself. And it's only through accepting that fact and looking to Christ as my personal Savior, as my way to a relationship with God, that I'll ever be able to be free and cleansed from sin. Simeon waited with his eyes wide open. He didn't know the exact manifestation that this glory was going to take, that he was promised. But when he saw it, he knew it. He recognized the Savior as a child, although many were looking for him to come as a grown king. He was ready to see the working of God in whatever form it was that it came. God's working in our lives isn't always in the form we anticipate, but it's always in the way that is best. I see then that Simeon acted. He listened when the Spirit told him, it's time to go to the temple. He went. I see in this someone that was so used to following the Lord's leading that it wasn't an unusual thing. He simply followed again. He didn't question the leading this time, but simply followed. And as he went, he looked again, I believe. I don't think this was the first time that he looked again for a realization of those years of waiting. And when we feel God leading us to do something, it's important we obey. If it's in accordance with the Word of God and with his principles, we must obey if we expect to hear his voice speaking in our hearts another time. We can't tune out the voice of God in our conscience when he speaks against sin in our lives. We cannot tune that voice out, yet expect to hear it when we want his leading in another area. He went right up to Joseph and Mary. He didn't wait for them to come to him or someone else to recognize who Christ was first. He took the step. When he had committed himself to following, he did not hesitate. My tendency is to hang back. I want to see what develops. I want to see if this is something that looks like it'll play out okay. I want to see if this is something that other people, maybe other people that I respect, how they react to it. But Simeon was confident in his relationship with God and in what God was asking of him. And then Simeon blessed God. And in doing so, he must have confirmed many things that were going about in Joseph and Mary's minds. And I see in that our act of faith may be a confirmation or a strength that another person needs. God's relationship with us is not selfish. God does not have a relationship with me so that I feel good. It's so that I can show his love to others. God's not selfish with his gifts, and he's not exclusive in doling them out. He expects that the good things that he gives us will be shared with those around us. So don't hide the good things that God gives you, or the challenging or the difficult things that he brings into your life either. The rest of us are facing those things too. So testify of what God is doing for you and in you. He took the child in his arms, and in that I see him taking responsibility for the child. He wasn't simply saying this and moving on. He took that small baby in his arms and took the responsibility for the care of the child in the moment that he was holding it. And I see in that us taking responsibility for our relationship with Christ and for our actions. It's easy for me to say something or talk about something if I don't have to get my hands dirty or be afraid of failure. But God wants us to become involved, to take responsibility, to own my own actions. And Simeon made it clear to anyone who was around that this prophecy was directed toward Jesus. By taking him in his arms, he made it clear that this is who he was talking about. And I had to think, as I looked at that, how clear is it whom I'm representing? It can be easy to say that I follow Christ or I want to follow Christ, but do everything I can to maybe fit in with those whose lifestyles are not following many of his teachings. So how clear is it that Christ is working in my life? Am I ashamed to be called a Christian and stand for the Bible? Simeon here, we see, was delighted to have that privilege. And then Simeon spoke. And when he spoke with certainty. I like the language that he used. He said, "It is set. It shall be." He was certain of his salvation. And we can be certain of our salvation. Christ came to earth to redeem us to God. And we can see his salvation just as Simeon did. Simeon spoke with compassion. He is the first in Luke's gospel to include the Gentiles in the plan of salvation. And I see that in this, that this wasn't an afterthought to God. God's plan is to redeem all people to himself, to bring each of us into a beautiful relationship with him. He spoke with compassion to Mary, Simeon did, as he talked about the pain that would come to her, the pain that would be there at Christ's crucifixion. And it can be hard. Sometimes we stay silent rather than speak into someone's pain because we don't know what to say. But we need to be willing to share in the pain, be willing to listen and to speak those words of compassion. He spoke with understanding. He knew that this baby was the Savior of the world. And he understood that from this point forward, everything would change. He said, "This is a sign which will be spoken against." Everything was going to be different now. And when we encounter Christ, our future also changes. When we encounter Christ, our lives also change. Simeon listened, he looked, he found, and he worshiped. We know the story of redemption that was completed at the cross. We can listen to the voice of God in our lives, and we can look for the final rejoicing as we're forever with God. And when we find that glory, we will worship, and we'll worship for eternity without end. So I just challenge us all to follow that example of Simeon and seek our salvation.